Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thanks, Anna. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast. I'm glad you've joined us today. In today's episode, we'll continue my interview from last time with Dr. Tom Johnston of the Praxis Center for Church Development about the need for pastors to have mentors. In this portion of our conversation, Tom will talk about how the mentoring we're describing is different than what corporate America offers. He'll also give some reasons why North American pastors tend to not be interested in being mentored. But first, I want to begin with another pastor's testimony about the importance of having a mentor in ministry. Scott pastors a traditional liturgical congregation in beautiful Pennsylvania Dutch country. Scott took this, his first pastorate, under pretty difficult circumstances. Here's his story.
In my particular situation, when I was new to the pastoral ministry, the first thing that I did was seek out a mentor, or my mentor actually sought me out, because he identified that, hey, that there's a younger person entering the ministry who is going to need someone to walk step by step, particularly in the situation I was in, which was just maybe a little more challenging than the average transition in a church. So I was blessed to have someone who had a tremendous amount of experience and wisdom from above, who could speak into the situations that just either periodically arose, or as we laid out a strategy, which included different components from biblical peacemaking to embedding a peacemaking team in our church, to developing leadership at all levels in our body, just to walk through step by step what that could potentially look like and what was necessary in order to bring that about. I mean, I can't help but think of Paul's words to his protege Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, where he tells Timothy, you know, what you have heard from me in front of many witnesses, find faithful men who will be able to teach others also. It's that four generations of mentoring, disciple making that helped take Timothy from where he was in Acts chapter 14 to planting a church in Ephesus. And I felt the same sort of spiritual progression from being green to certainly having a relationship with the Lord and walking with the Lord, but being able to do that better because of everything that I saw and heard in my mentor.
Scott has applied the lessons from his own mentoring to the leadership community of his church with great success. That church is flourishing today and has identified some key ministries through which it's making a measurable impact on its community. That's the kind of fruit the mentoring specialized for pastors is supposed to produce. It should have a generational impact. Now let's return to my interview with Tom Johnston and see how the mentoring of those in ministry is a different kind of mentoring. So as we talk about biblical mentoring, it said before, there's a lot, you know, buzzword around coaching, a lot about coaching today out there, all different kinds of coaching and even mentoring, but the mentoring in the world seems to be more task oriented. What really makes the mentoring that we're talking about different than what the world and frankly, even some of the Western church is providing?
Well, yeah, that's really great. A couple of friends of that Mike and I have, Tom Wymore and Joe Woodruff, came up with some definitions some years ago, and we like to use those. And they said mentoring is where someone goes before you and pours into you. They take their experience and they invest in you. Coaching is where someone comes alongside you and draws out what's in you. And then sponsoring is when someone stands behind you and puts you forward for something in some context or relational network. Mike and I have kind of looked at that as a holistic thing where a mentor really does all those things at different stages of life and relationship with someone. And so I think that the big distinction between mentoring in a kingdom context and mentoring in marketplace is that marketplace is usually around passing on job skills, where kingdom mentoring is yes, passing on skills, and perhaps even vocational skills in the sense of ministry, but primarily it's about passing on a way of life. And so we have a disintegrated life in our culture. It's compartmentalized, bifurcated. Belief and action don't necessarily need to align in the Western mind. In the biblical view, in the Hebraic mind, in the ancient Near Eastern mind, life is one. God is one and life is one. And therefore, a holistic life where someone's being developed in their identity, in who they are in Christ, in their the capacity of their heart being a servant like Christ, and then in their role function, kingdom economy, or even job skills, that mentoring can take place. But it's much more holistic. It's about the whole person. It's about the whole life. It's not just about the task. And nor should mentoring in the marketplace necessarily be about that. But the big distinction is we're looking to form a kingdom way of life, as Paul said to the Galatians, to see Christ formed in them, you know, to give birth to Christ in them, that really the whole collaborative process with the Holy Spirit of seeing someone formed in their spiritual formation and who they are as a person, how they live their life, and alignment to the kingdom goals. So I think that's a big deal. You know, you and I were talking recently about the big challenge that we face in the church today, and you were asking what the biggest challenges were. And I said the big challenge is that we have a clash of culture and a clash of values. So what's not being passed on in the church is a value set and a kingdom culture. And so the value set of the world and the culture of the world is speaking louder and more strongly than the church is speaking about kingdom values. We aren't distinct enough. And so I think mentoring is key to passing on a kingdom worldview, a kingdom value set, and a kingdom lifestyle.
Amen. Amen. Tom, why do you think so many American pastors today appear not to value mentoring?
Well, that's a good point. I think there's a couple of things. First off, I don't think they were ever mentored.
Oh.
If they were in Bible school or seminary, perhaps they were given some kind of mentoring in some kind of ministry internship or something, but it's not primarily holistic. And they don't really have a backdrop for what it looks like. In fact, I've had people in training who were my age. You know, I'm 57 now. I remember a guy who was 55 in a training session break down into tears and said, well, who's going to mentor me? And I was never mentored. And it's predominantly in the boomer generation, it was a thing. It was a real thing that people are expected to find their own way, to do their own thing, to make their own mark in the world, all very highly Western values. It's not seen as a communal investment in a person to develop them for God's calling for the community. And so I think that there's a lot of pastors don't do it because they're not equipped. They're also pressured by their paycheck. I can be quite honest with you, and dealing with pastors for 30 years, when it comes to making change in the church or changing the role, they're hesitant to do it because of the fact that it may negatively impact some people in the church who are significant donors, yeah. and therefore it endangers their paycheck, so they don't make changes, which implementing mentoring and discipleship would be one. They don't make those changes primarily because they're concerned about what's going to happen to their livelihood. And mm-hmm. so I think it's a real problem. So I think, first of all, they haven't been taught. Second of all, there is a concern about making change towards mentoring. And I think the third thing is that they believe that, and they were trained for, a set of tasks that mentoring is not primarily included in. So mm-hmm. they're trained in church administration. They were trained in some theological formation. They were taught how to deliver a sermon, lead a Bible study, do some small group stuff, do some pastoral care. And they were taught to care for the flock as opposed to develop and catalyze leadership. And so with that approach, there's not a lot of time left to actually invest in people.
There's not a lot of time left to invest in people. Oh, friends, how many of us in ministry can relate to being just too busy? Busyness is the plague of our whole society. But if the church is supposed to be God's instrument to redeem that, the change has to start with us. A good relationship with a mentor can help a pastor walk in God's priorities. We'll hear more from Tom in next week's episode, including some thoughts on investing in younger generations. You know, thinking in terms of the rabbinical method of mentoring, or what Tom calls the Jesus way, Tom teaches that there is a clear difference between what the Western world looks for in leaders and what Jesus desires. Therefore, the way we mentor is radically different. When it comes to the rabbinical approach, the rabbinical method looks at character. The Western world is after credentials, skills, data. The rabbinic method teaches principles. The Western tends to go on proposition and methodology. The rabbinic method seeks wisdom. The Western methodology is after knowledge. And the reason these are different is because the rabbinical method wants people to know how to live, whereas the Western approach tends to focus on how to do things. The rabbinic method focuses on knowing so that we can obey. The Western methodology helps us to know our environment so we can control our environment. The rabbinic method is anchored in knowing God. The Western approach tends to be anchored in knowing creation. The rabbinic method is rooted in His Word. The Western method is rooted in empirical knowledge. The rabbinic method tends to focus on adult learners, whereas the Western method tends to focus on child learners. The rabbinic method includes content, whereas the Western method is fact-based. Jesus' approach with the rabbinic method was always life on life. The Western method doesn't really require a relationship, which is why, when you think about it, many of us don't remember the names of a lot of our teachers along the way. The rabbinic method uses life itself as the curriculum. The Western approach uses field-specific curriculum so we can become experts. The rabbinic method forms the heart. The Western method forms thinking. And there's a big difference between those two things. The rabbinic approach asks questions to draw the student deeper. The Western method gives answers. The rabbinic approach focuses on effective living, whereas the Western approach focuses on efficient doing. The bottom line is this: the rabbinic approach gives mastery of life. The Western approach gives mastery of subject matter. When we talk about mentoring pastors, we're talking about investing in them life on life. We're talking about the formation of their heart, not just their theology. And as that mentee pastor gains more and more mastery of life, it changes everything. It certainly changes their ministry, but it changes their marriage. It changes their parenting. It changes their life. Well, more to come. I'm so glad you were in our audience today. Until we meet again, be sure to check out the show notes And thank you so much for joining us here on the Minister's Friend Podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend Podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimball.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!